Let's go to Charmaine in Glen Ellen, Illinois. Good morning, Charmaine.
Yeah, good morning, Patrick. First of all, thank you for your intense knowledge about Scripture. I really appreciate it. I just want to make a comment about the translations and something I've always been sensitive about for years. Yesterday, during the Gospel, there was a word change. I don't know when it was changed. I believe it says, I don't have it in front of me, this is my beloved Son. It used to say, in whom I am well pleased. And yesterday it was read, this is my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. That little change, to me, when it says in whom, it's like saying to everybody else, the announcement, this is my Son. I am pleased in him. He is the Christ. Mm-hmm. When it's changed to you, it's like addressing Jesus, you know, like letting him know he's the Christ. I mean, years ago, there was that goofy thing going around about, you know, Jesus didn't know he was the Messiah until later in life. Mm-hmm. It just fogs up the meaning to me and the intent of why it was being announced at the baptism.
All right. Let me offer you a couple of thoughts here. Let's just take it as we see it here. So this is in Luke chapter 3. Now the reading begins in verse 15 and it ends in verse 22. So let's open up Luke chapter 3, and I want to show you something interesting here. What you'll see is that the Douay Rheims version of this reads as follows. Now this, of course, is the earlier English translation. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." So the more literal translation is God the Father speaking to Jesus and saying to Jesus, "In you I am well pleased." So it's the modern translation that obscures that. And so I don't know exactly what you heard yesterday at Mass, but my guess is you probably heard something along the lines that was closer to the more literal translation. Would that be correct?
What I heard was you.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what I saw written on the page was you, because I also read along in the Missal.
Okay. So that would be in Luke. Let's see here. That's going to be in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the New American Bible, I'm looking here at the Revised Standard Version, so I'd have to look at the New American Bible to see, and I've got that right here. So Luke chapter 3, verse 22 says, give me a second to turn to it. It reads, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." So that is an accurate translation in English.
It uses the
you instead of the thee. But other than that, that's accurate.
So whom is wrong?
The word in whom I am well pleased.
That's what's less accurate.
What I would need to do on that would be to compare. I would need to find if there are parallel passages, find those and then compare it, because it might be worded slightly differently in a different gospel account. That's a possibility. Another possibility.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, another possibility, Charmaine, is that it could also be simply the way it's commonly said as opposed to what's actually said in the text. But I need to take a quick look at that to know one way or the other. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I'll be right back. Let's go to Mary Ellen now in California. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Good morning, Patrick. Here's my question. I've got, and I think it was like one of the first editions of the New American Bible, because it says 1971. Now, in Isaiah 10:27, it's missing the whole sentence that you find in the Douay Rheims version. So in the New American, it says, "His burden shall be taken from your shoulder, and his yoke shattered from your neck." In the Douay Rheims, and also in the King James Version, this is how I really discovered it. Mm-hmm. It says, let me read that. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall putrefy at the presence of the oil." And I'm going to read the King James, because my question is, why are the King James and Douay Rheims Old Testament translations all, you know, similar, and half that sentence is missing from the New American. So the King James says, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." And, of course, the Douay Rheims says, "And the yoke shall putrefy because of the presence of the oil." Mm-hmm. Why do you think that the translators of the New American Bible left out half that sentence?
I don't know the answer to that question. I would have to consult the experts on that. But if I had to guess, and that's all it is,
sure,
it may be because that was a scribal gloss. As newer translations are done, and they have access in some cases to superior manuscripts, they discover by sifting through the manuscripts that sometimes a scribal gloss entered into the text that wasn't originally there. And so when they omit those glosses, they're getting back to the original text itself, as opposed to something that was inadvertently elaborated. So what I mean by that, Mary Ellen, is that as the centuries wore on, and these Catholic monks primarily in the monasteries who were in some cases translated, but primarily they were copying manuscripts into newer vellum, newer parchment, they would from time to time make marginal notes. And in some cases, later transcribers were not clear whether or not did the writer run out of space and put the extra part of the verse in the margin, as sometimes happened, or was this a marginal note that was, you know, sort of put on the side of the text? And if a later copyist didn't know, he might interpolate that into the text, thinking that it was part of the text. And so as manuscript evidence became more precise and our tools became better, they were able to determine, oh, this didn't really belong there. And so that might well be the reason for this particular verse, but without checking it, I would have to say I don't know for sure.
Okay, would this be something I could contact Scott Hahn about? The reason I'm saying that is, shouldn't that be referenced in the footnote? Because there's such a difference where the King James and the Douay Rheims version, and I have the Haydock commentaries, and he makes a comment about Isaiah 27. And, of course, what's really being discussed here is the anointing or the presence of the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So
no,
I
follow.
Yeah, this is really important.
Well, it is, but keep in mind that this, you're not the first person discovering this. It's not as though
I know that, Patrick.
Okay.
I know that.
Well, I don't mean to sound condescending, but what I mean is that I'm certain that there's a very good reason why it's not present in the New American Bible. And if I had to guess, it's because it probably was interpolated. But yes, you're right. You could consult with someone like Scott Hahn. His website is scotthahn.com. He's got many commentaries. The Haydock is an excellent commentary. So if you already have that, that's good. Have you seen or do you have access to the Catholic Commentary on Holy Scripture by Dom Bernard Orchard by chance?
No, I don't.
That's another excellent one. I use it frequently. And it's available online, as a matter of fact, in PDF form. I use the original volume itself, but okay. The entire commentary is available as a PDF. There may or may not be some cost for it, but if you do a little searching on Google, you'll be able to find it.
Sure.
That'd be another source that I would check into to see what it says.
And that was Dom Bernard Orchard, is that correct?
Correct, right.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Yeah, I'll go to Scott Hahn because, to me, that's a big issue and just want to find out why the New American left it out.
For more of the Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.